matter what you're going through, I know that you can stand for your life.
With you. We've had a scan of people get the Holy Ghost in the last couple of weeks. Praise God. I'm just thankful to be a part of God's delivery process. It's an awesome thing to see people born again of the water and of the Spirit. We're going to make another run tonight at Psalms 24. And we'll take our text again in the 24th, beginning in verse 1. We've been talking in the last few services about how God hides us, how He covers us. There are times in life when it's almost a seething thing inside of you that you would wish that somebody's fault or wrong would be found out. Because you're thinking, if only they knew, like I know, what that person did. If only you knew the record of that person. Under the terms of biblical discretion, though, God is in favor of a cover-up. He's in favor of not having your sin shouted from the rooftop. He's in favor of getting every sin under the blood. He's in favor of grace and mercy, and would rather have those than judgment and justice. Praise God. What an awesome God. What a judge to stand before. Praise God. And so I've grown to love mercy. And I've grown to love a cover-up. And I love the business, if your life falls apart and you fail or you stumble, I love the business of keeping the circle just as small as we can keep it. Because I expect you to recover. And I expect you to gain your strength and your place in God again. And I expect for you to have another day of ministry and another day of prayer and another day of worship and another day of excellence in the kingdom of God. And the smaller we keep the circle, the less fallout you have to deal with later. Now, a church that loves God and loves people, and those are the first two commandments. And if you obey those two, then you've obeyed all of the commandments in the book. If you love God and you love people, everything else follows in line. Praise God. If we're a church that loves God and loves people, then we conspire together for people to be restored. We conspire together to zip our lips, to create small circles, to control collateral damage, to keep it secreted away, not as leverage for another day or a hot piece of gossip, not as some information for power or a trump card to play in the middle of a debate, but rather hidden away like God has hidden away my sins. Boy, I love the program of God. The further I go, the better it looks. And the more mercy I get, the more I love mercy. There's only about 10 of you glad about this tonight, but I'm glad for mercy tonight. David got a roll going in the psalm, and he began to say it like a mantra, "The mercy of the Lord endureth forever." And let this group say, "The mercy of the Lord endureth forever." And let this section say it. And let this section say it. And let this section say it. He had Israel say it. He had Judah say it. Let all the young men shout it. Let all the young ladies shout it. Let all the old married folks shout it. My God, we need mercy. I'm glad God's got mercy. I'm glad He'd rather have mercy than anything else. Psalms 24 establishes God's creative authority and then poses the question in verse 3 and 4, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in His holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul into vanity nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek Him, that seek Thy face. And He says, O Jacob, think about it. O Jacob, Selah. Praise the Lord. God bless you. You can be seated. If you love His word tonight, let's give Him thanks and praise for His word. Forever settled in the heavens, we thank You, mighty God. We worship You, Lord God. We lift You up. Praise God. And if we get an interruption from Brother Bracken, we'll just take a break. And we'll hear from him. Just try him about every 10 minutes or so. And I'm sure he's busy and he's at church. I think Brother Suber's preaching tonight at that church. So he's excited about that. Praise God. We've been talking about the fact that our experience in God is much like the pattern of the tabernacle plan or the pattern of the temple of old, and that there's a process to go through, and that you and I are not worthy to get into the presence of God. We're not able because of our sin, because of our fallen nature, because of our depraved flesh and our condition of life. And so the question then is really an indictment against man, and it presents our conundrum here tonight. Who is able to ascend into the holy hill of God? Who's able to stand in His holy place? And there's not a one of us that can in ourselves lift our hand tonight. There's not a one of us that is able to say, by my own strength, by my own righteousness, by my own courage, I can make my way into the presence of God, because there's nobody in this house tonight but sinners. But the good news is that God has covered up our sins and that He fulfills every type of the tabernacle. He's our scapegoat. He's taken our blame. He's our Lamb of Atonement. He has purchased our souls by His own blood. He's our place of cleansing, so we don't have to go on with this sin on our life, but we can be cleansed. And Sister Avery, when you go down in the water in Jesus' name, there's a powerful curative impact, and God's able to cure somebody of alcoholism. God's able to break the bondage of drug addiction in a moment's time. Can anybody say amen? He's made all of that available. And as we make our way into the process of God, we are not strong enough, we are not good enough, we're not worthy, and we're not able, but God hides us. David talks about He hides us in His pavilion. David talks about He hides us beneath His wings. Jesus Himself said, I want to gather you like chicks under a mama hen. And Paul said, your life is hidden with Christ in God. Oh, let's clap our hands unto Him. I'm glad that He hides us and that He covers up our sin. And because of that, we have a mediator, we have a high priest, and we are able to go boldly into the throne room of God. I'm glad tonight, if I need grace, I can walk right into the presence of God. I'm glad tonight, if I need mercy, I can walk into the presence of God. I don't have to run. I don't have to hide. I don't have to fear God. I bring my sin. I bring my failure. I bring my trouble right into His presence, because He's proven to me that He loves me. And the process of God is that you bring your brokenness to God. You bring your failure to God. You bring your falling to God. And God's the only one that can take care of it. I'm so glad that we can hide in Him. I'm so glad that we can hide in Him. I'm glad that it covers us up. And that's the language of the Old Testament. It's the language of the New Testament. And it's the power of the blood. Now, the flesh, in its animosity, sometimes wants to dig up things that are under the blood. But you need to leave it alone. The flesh, sometimes, in its insecurity, wants to dig up things that are under the blood. But you need to stay hands off and leave that alone. The devil wants to come and dig it up because he wants to condemn you. Steal your joy. Steal your worship. Kill your prayer life. He wants to damage your faith. But you need to brace yourself and be strong in the mercies of God and just tell him to his face, I know I'm not worthy, but it's not about my worthiness. It's about a God who is worthy, and he's made a way for me to come into his presence, and he's washed my sins away, and you can't hurt the blood, and you can't reinstitute my sins, and you can't negate grace, and you can't wipe away mercy. You don't have the power to do that, devil. Now go on. Somebody say praise the Lord. And so in that we understand where Paul says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but who walk after the Spirit. No, everybody say no condemnation. My God, we've been set free. We've been made free. God has broken the chains, kicked the doors off the jail cells, turned us loose, and we are not condemned. Praise God. Somebody say praise the Lord. Now, just a little object lesson. I want everybody that's righteous in the house to stand up. This is a test. This is only a test. Praise God. Well, I read in the Bible where it says there's none righteous. Not one. What are you doing standing up? You don't know the word of God? Let's try this again. Sit down and... And everybody that's holy, stand up. But there's none holy but one. Yeah, but see, you can't see me because I'm hiding underneath him. He's got me under his garment. He's got me under his glory. He's got me wrapped up under his sacrifice. He's got me covered. If you look real closely, you'll see an extra pair of little feet walking along beside his. But you can't see anything else on me. You can't see anything else in my life because I'm hid with Christ in God. My God, when he looks at me, he sees righteousness as long as I'm under the Christ. When he looks at me, he sees holiness as long as I'm under the Christ. Praise God. When does that happen? It happens the moment you're born again of water and spirit. These that receive the Holy Ghost this morning and were baptized in Jesus' name, they are righteous and they are holy instantaneously. They may not dress like you. They may not look like you. They may still have some appointments on their book that you would disapprove of. They may have some contraband in their car. They may have illegal drugs in their closet. But they're righteous. And they're holy. It's a wise church that can get over that bump. And understand it doesn't have anything to do with the length of your sleeve. Five minutes old, child of God. He may look like hell's angels. Good, but give him a big old hug and a big brotherly kiss. Because he's God's. And holiness happens on the inside first. And then it happens on the outside. Well, praise God. I'm so glad for this cover up. I am so thrilled tonight that God has covered our sins. And by his mediation, he takes us into the presence of God. And although my life by itself stinks because of the putrid nature of sin. Sin was likened to leprosy, and I'm just being dissolved by the infectious effect of leprosy, and the putrid smell of that rot is all over my life. But when I'm hid under him, the righteousness, the holiness of God, all it smells is a sweet smelling savor. This is review. We did all this morning. We can give you a scripture, chapter, and verse for it. But we are a sweet smelling savor of Christ to God. He has perfected that incense burner in the process of God. By his own sacrifice, he's torn the veil and he's made a way for us into the presence of God. And tonight, although we're mere mortals, although we're just puny humans, although we're full of weakness and failings, and you don't get to be what you are called to be until you get on the other side, but we walk it every day, and we do our best every day. But because of his call, I get to walk into where the Shekinah glory of, I believe the Shekinah glory of God has come down in this house tonight. I believe it was moving all over this altar this morning. Well, praise the Lord. You say, well, I don't know how great that was. It doesn't get any greater than little girls talking in tongues. It doesn't get any greater than people going down in the water in Jesus' name. There is no other event that causes the angels to shout. But when people are being born again, the angels are rejoicing. Praise God. Well, glory. So we're glad for the cover-up. He said, this is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob. Selah. And it's interesting that he brings Jacob into the discussion. Look at Isaiah 41 and 14, Peter, if you would. Fear not, thou worm Jacob. You men of Israel, there's a powerful promise that comes preceding in the preceding four verses there in Isaiah 41. But in 14, he says, fear not, thou worm Jacob, you men of Israel. I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Now, you have to understand that when he's talking to Jacob and he calls him a worm, it's an affectionate term. God loves him, but he's just a worm. You see, Jacob was not eligible for the birthright or the blessing, but he got both because he wanted the things of God. He wasn't worthy or eligible. He wasn't the firstborn, and he wasn't good. And we could do a diatribe on Jacob tonight. He was a mess, but he wanted the things of God. And God looked at it and said, you're just a worm, but I love your spirit and your hunger. You know, if you've got hunger, God will work with you on any level. If you're hungry for God. But you can be a really, really good person with no hunger for God and you'll be lost. He said, I hadn't come to call the righteous to repentance. That was a use of irony because there are none righteous. He said, I've come to call sinners. And that being interpreted means you have to know that you're a sinner before God can call you and help you. If you think you're righteous, he can't touch you. But I know I qualify this and say that all of you that stood tonight, you stood in his righteousness. Boldly, you stood in his holiness. And you stood by knowledge in the fact that it's not you, but it's him. Praise God. Everybody say praise the Lord. Praise God. God is so good. He says, Jacob, you're a worm. And Israel, I'm going to help you. So to the lowly and the broken and the sinner and the failure, God says, come and let me cover you and let me usher you into the presence of God. Praise God. Can you remember when you first heard that call and you doubted yourself and you felt like you weren't worthy and you didn't understand? And when it hit you that he wanted you anyway, the tears just began to flow. And you understood, my God, he wants me back even though I failed him 100 times. I hear him in the nighttime calling me. I hear him in the voice of the preacher. I open up the word of God, and it's not by accident. It's a word of mercy. My friend calls on the phone and says, you know, God is able to forgive you and redeem you. And it's a conspiracy of mercy that begins to weave itself around my life. And God says, come on, bring your trouble. to all the Jacobs that want God, but you're just you're not eligible. You're broken and you're flawed and you're crippled up in your spirit. To all the Jacobs, God says, come on. I can work with you. If you've got some hunger, I've got the righteousness. If you've got the will to obey, I've got the holiness. I can get you where you need to go. Just come hide under me. Praise God. To all of you that think that God could never love you, he says, come. Let me wrap you up in my love. Let me let you know a love that you could never experience in this earth. Let me wrap you up in a love that'll take you, these that you love around you right now, they're going to die one day, or they're going to fail you, or they're going to make mistakes, or they're going to grow jaded. That's just the nature of humanity. But there is a love. There is a God. The Word of God said he'll stick closer to you than a brother. And he's called you his friend. No greater love has this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. My God, that love is in this house tonight. There are people here. Your mama told you you're not worthy of loving. Your daddy treated you like a dog, and it made you feel like you weren't lovable. But let me tell you, there's a God tonight that has come down from glory to call you and say, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I want to love you with a divine love. I want to heal you in your soul. I want to correct your mind. I want to cover your sins. Somebody say praise the Lord. And all the worms said amen. Amen. Praise God. All the worms said amen. Amen. You know, there's nothing lowlier than a grub worm. He's just kind of down in the dirt, eating decayed logs and just a grub. And he's just kind of larva-like and as low as you can get. Just turn to your neighbor and say, you pitiful grub. And it's an amazing thing that God has done. Because the grub is making his way through life. And he's at work doing whatever grubs do. He's being grubbish today. And he's just chewing through the detritus of life. Just a grub. And he's working his grub job. And he's, if you'd listen closely, he's singing a little grub song. He's singing, I'll fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away. The little grubettes at school. They're slinking their way through gym class. And they're singing a little grubette song. I'll have a new body. Praise the Lord. I'll have a new life. And some fellow grub worker standing there beside and listening to singing and talking and say, what are you singing about? What is that you're saying? You're gonna fly? My God, man, you're psychotic. You're a grub. Look at us. We're larvae. We eat dead things. We nibble on trees. If we're lucky, we climb a tree. But we're grubs. You're a grub. You can't fly. Oh, yeah. I'm going to fly.
It makes me happy just to think about it. Are you going to eat that dead branch? How do you think you're going to fly? Well, I'm not always going to be a grub. But I'm going to be a butterfly.
Yeah, that's right.
A what? A butterfly. I'm gonna be a butterfly. What is a butterfly? And the grub goes spacey. A butterfly is lighter than air. This is out of the grub universe. This is out of the grub paradigm. This is another reality. A butterfly is lighter than air. Crystalline. Exotic in its colors. A butterfly doesn't eat on this dead stuff. But a butterfly goes from flower to flower and drinks nectar all day and is a part of the wonderful reproductive processes of God. You believe that? I do. I'm gonna be a butterfly. And he goes off on his grub way, singing. And he looks like a grub. And he acts like a grub. And he smacks his food like a grub. And there's nothing beautiful in him that we should desire him. He's a grub. But one day, the grub gets hidden. There's this fine crystalline silk that just covers him all up. And you can't see him at all. And he's all but disappeared. But if you knock on the door, he's still just a grub. But he's hidden away. And then at the right season, at the right time, given the right stimulus, something begins to break loose out of that covering. And that grub is born again. Lighter than air. All the worms said amen. All the grubs said amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, I may be a grub, but I'm going to be a butterfly. Oh, you ought to stand to your feet tonight and say, I'm going to be a butterfly. My God, some glad morning when this life is over, I'll fly away to a land. Come on. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'll have a new body. I'll have a new life.
Praise God. If you're glad for that, clap your hands into it. Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody shout praise the Lord. Praise God. Peter, give us 1 John 3, 1 and 2. And hit that list. Everybody say, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. They thought he was just a carpenter. They thought he was just a man. They think you're just a grub. They don't recognize royalty and divinity when they see it. But say, now are we the sons of God? And it doesn't appear what we shall be, but we know that when he appears, we're going to be like him. My God, I'm going to be a butterfly. I'm going to be lighter than air. I'm going to shed this old body. My God. Run to the next one. Our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Who shall change, everybody say he's going to change my vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. Death couldn't touch him. The grave couldn't hold him. Sin couldn't claim him. My God, you're going to get a body just like his body. You don't deserve it. You're not worth it. But for some reason, God has loved us. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us. Go to the next one. Job 25, he said, everybody that does say, I know my Redeemer liveth. And tell your neighbor, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body. You know, you're paying way too much attention to that face. Pat it and just say, that's just worm food. You can't keep the wrinkles away, and you can't keep death from laying his hand on it. But my God, Job said, even though the worms have me for lunch, in my flesh, I shall see God. Go ahead, Peter. I'll see him for myself. Tell your neighbor, I'm going to see him for myself. And my eyes will behold him. And not another, even though my guts be consumed within me. That's a little plain rain sounds better. Daniel 3. Everybody saying, they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of a firmament. And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever. Shake your neighbor's hand and tell him, I want you to meet a star. If you've never met a star, you're shaking the hand of a star right now. I'm going to shine as the stars of God forever. My God, the NFL can't do that for you. The NBA can't do that for you. Hollywood Walk can't do that for you. But God has claimed you. And the last, Malachi. And they that fear the Lord, this is such a neat scripture. They that fear the Lord spake often one to another about him. And the Lord hearkened. God heard it. God hears you when you're talking about him. When you're hanging around talking about the goodness of God and how good God is and how much you love him and how awesome God is. God listens at that. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and thought upon his name. God keeps records. Every time you talk about him, he keeps records of it. He said, man, they're talking about me again. Write that down. Write what they're saying to, and go to the next one. And they shall be mine. Everybody say, they shall be mine. Turn to your neighbor. Say, I'm going to be his. Saith the Lord of hosts. He said, in that day when I make up my jewels, shake your neighbor's hand and say, just call me Jewel. I'm a jewel of God. Now, I may be a diamond in the rough. Somebody may not see the value. You ever heard one of those stories where a guy had a paperweight or a doorstop and it turned out to be the Hope Diamond or some such thing like that? That's exactly what you are. The world can't see the value, but down inside that grubby life of yours, My God, God's got something for us. I know. Time out. Have a seat. The good Reverend Bracken, missionary to Taiwan, is with us from some undisclosed location. Hey, Brother Bracken.
Hey, brother.
How in the world are you guys?
Brother Sutton, Pastor, how you doing?
We're blessed. We're in the middle of a rip-roaring church service. Everybody say, hey, Brother Bracken.
I've been listening to you.
We just had your buddy Wolf from here last week.
Oh, you did?
And ironically, this morning, we had a young lady who is Vietnamese to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. First time we've had a Vietnamese receive the Holy Ghost here. What's going on with the Brackens and with Taiwan?
Hey, we're on deputation right now, up in Ohio.
Stay away from those cheeseburgers.
God's good, though. Woo.
Well, tell us some things. Tell us what's going on.
Well, we've been traveling since January. We've had about, 28 last count, received the Holy Ghost.
Praise God.
Our last trip into China in Beijing, in 5 days, we had 34 receive the Holy Ghost.
In Beijing?
Yeah. We had our camp meeting in Taiwan just a couple months ago. We had 9 backsliders pray through, 9 baptized, and 9 filled with the Holy Ghost.
How does that work that you're able to go into Beijing? Is that like on a tourist visa or something?
We go in as a tourist, and then we work undercover.
You got a burgeoning church there.
Behind enemy lines there.
You got a burgeoning church in mainland China then.
Yeah. It's an underground church, but it's an awesome church. They're hungry for God.
Hey, do you have any need? Do you have any need for a Mandarin Chinese Bible study on video?
Yeah.
Do you have one?
Yeah, they have that.
Okay. Do you think they're...
It's produced in Singapore.
Wonderful.
Do you have any Chinese in your church, Brother Sutton?
Not yet, but we're going to.
Right. Hallelujah. Well, we'd love to see you again, and maybe we'll swing down that way and say hi.
When are you heading home?
When do we go back to Taiwan?
Yes.
Is that what you asked?
That's right.
Yeah, we're hoping for February. That's when our national conference is. We'd like to just go back and stay back. We're about 85% raised our budget. So we ask you good folks to pray for us that we can get this done, get back where we belong to that 1,324,000,000 Chinese back there.
Are you going to be in the southeast at any point?
Pardon me?
Or will you be in the southeastern United States at any point?
Sorry, I couldn't quite hear you.
Are you coming near Alabama anytime soon?
Oh, I've passed through northern part of Alabama, but I'm not really scheduled down that way. I've just come to see you, that's all.
Well, why don't you come then?
Yeah, we'll find some Chinese, get them in church.
Well, if you can't come, we're going to be so offended that we're going to raise your PIM anyway. Well, hold on a minute. We'll have a business meeting. This meeting will now come to order. Everybody in favor of raising the Brackens PIM, say aye.
Aye.
All in favor, just shut up. I think it passed.
All right.
Overwhelmingly.
All right. Praise God. We appreciate that vote of support.
That was easy.
Yeah.
Well, we love you guys, and we're praying for you.
Love you, and we tell everybody that you're one of the most awesome churches we've been in on all of our 6 deputations.
Well, that's kind. Praise the Lord. But we'd love to have you if you have a little time and you have an inclination, come and we'll just put you up and feed you good and give you a nice offering and send you on your way.
Well, I'll give you a call, all right? Because we would really like to come through there.
Well, come on. We love you.
All right. God bless.
Appreciate you calling us tonight.
All right.
Everybody's.
God bless the church there.
Do what?
God bless that awesome church there.
And everyone say, God bless the Bracken.
God bless the Bracken.
Man, thank you. Thank you.
All right. God bless you, brother.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Why don't we just pray for them right now, the hand of God on them, blessing them, strengthening them. They're powerful missionaries in Taiwan and in mainland China. Lord God, lay your hand on them and bless them and strengthen them and prosper them. And I pray that you would do it in the name above every name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Praise God. Praise God. Now, some people think that all this business about grubworms and about transformation of lives and the hiding of your sins by God and restoration, they think that that's just a lot of pie in the sky. But let me tell you, that transformation theology is laced throughout the Word of God. There's a man by the name of Naaman in the Old Testament who is covered up with leprosy, a type of sin. But he hears from a handmaid that there's a prophet in Israel, and he makes his way to Israel, and he knocks on the door of that prophet's humble home. And before the story is over, Naaman's coming up out of the water, and the Bible said his skin is like a baby's brand new skin. I want you to know that God will restore you, that God will transform you, and it is the will of God that he do it. Praise God. Praise God. Somebody that's been transformed, give him praise. Somebody that's been restored, give him praise. I want you to know that this is not the end. If you like what he's done with you already, you're going to love what he's going to do with you, because we have this confidence that what he's begun in you, he's going to see it through to the end. Well, praise God. I read in the Word of God where he opened blinded eyes and he raised a man named Lazarus from the dead. The guy was dead for 4 days and he was rotting and he was stinking. But Jesus stood outside the tomb and he said, Lazarus, arise. And the man that was dead got up. And does anybody believe this in the house tonight? He got up and he walked out of the tomb. Listen to me. God's sending you an email tonight and he's telling you death is not a problem. Nothing can stop the transforming power of God. Decomposition is not a problem. Nothing can stop the power of God. Praise God. I called for a piano 30 minutes ago. We got to work on system. I need to get a big billboard or something. Somebody say praise the Lord. If you love him, clap your hands into it. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, come on. Clap your hands unto him. Praise God. Praise God. Let's stand together. I read in the Word of God where there was a lady by the name of Magdalene. She was a harlot in the street. And her testimony was Magdalene, out of whom he cast 7 devils. My wife doesn't like it a whole lot when I tell her about our testimony and how she was OD'd on drugs. But you could be Maggie, honey. I could be telling, that's my wife Maggie that I cast 7 devils out of. And when Jesus is at the party at Simon's house, and the woman came in with the alabaster box and broke it, the critics said, if he knew what kind of woman she was, he wouldn't allow her to touch him, because they didn't believe in the transforming power of God. But see, in the mind of God, she was already completely transformed. You know, I've read where he calls those things that are not as though they were. And he doesn't see me in my brokenness. And he doesn't see me in my ruin or in my failure. This is a powerfully positive and optimistic God. He believes he can do anything with somebody that is willing. Well, praise God. And with Magdalene, he covers her up. And all he sees is her desire. And all he's interacting with is her passion for the things of God. My God, I read in the Word of God, a man who they called Legion, so demented he was cutting himself with stones and crying out. Nobody could bind him up.
But at the end of the story, he's seated and in his right mind, and he's talking to Jesus. My God, this God we serve tonight, he wants to make you into an everlasting, immortalized, incorruptible being. And he's already got that working in your life. And there is no condition in your life right now that can stop him from working on you. And there's no impediment in your character that he can't overcome if you'll just bring it to him. Paul said, my life is hid with Christ in God. If you're glad for it tonight, let's lift up our hands and give him praise. Hallelujah. I magnify your name, Almighty God. I praise your name, Almighty God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Shake your neighbor a little bit and tell him, I'm not worthy, but I'm covered up with his worthiness. Tell him, I'm not holy, but he's covered me with his holiness. Tell somebody, I'm not righteous, but he's given me a robe of righteousness to wear. But I want you to hear this. When that trumpet sounds, when that archangel shouts, I won't need no help. I won't need no covering. I'm gonna step out on my own. In that moment, you're going to be everything that God has called you to be. In a moment, you'll be righteous. In a moment, you'll be holy. In a moment, you'll have absolute control. That old flesh won't bother you anymore. I'm telling you, in a moment of time, you're going to be delivered. Just hold on. Just hold on. Just a one more day. Just one more step in front of another. There's coming a day where failure won't be an option. Where sin loses its hold. My God, let's give him praise and thanks. Hallelujah. 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 In this altar tonight, if you've ever felt like nobody could love you, God says, come. I want to cover you up with love. If there's somebody here who feels like you're not worthy of mercy, come on. Because God says, I've got mercy enough for you and all those that you love. Bring them on. If you've fallen, God wants you to come tonight because he's saying, you can't fall so far. You can't fall so hard that I can't get my arms around you. Mighty God. Church, I want you to do the work of the church right now. Some of you need to just begin to praise him for his mercies. Some of you need to begin to praise him for his goodness and his grace. Hallelujah. 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 We magnify you. Take somebody by the hand and say, come on, praise the Lord with me tonight. He's a mighty God and worthy of all the praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for your mercies. Thank you, Jesus, for your grace. Thank you, mighty God, for every blessing. Hallelujah. Could we give him high praise in the house? Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your love. Thank you, mighty God. Glory. Praise God. Somebody need to point your finger in the devil's face tonight. And you need to say, I may have fallen. I may have been a disaster. But God's got mercy enough to take me all the way. Somebody needs to talk to yourself tonight. And you need to make a declaration. My life is hidden in Christ, in God. Hallelujah. Come on, let's pray.
Take somebody by the hand and say some glad morning.